It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. Tyler Aki and Mike Gilligan. We're with you every single Saturday morning, 9 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN 1000. You can also check us out on YouTube as well. Just go to YouTube.com, search ESPN Chicago. Let's go on out to the Jersey Mike's hotline where we find the Glenview Park Golf Club Director of Golf, Ron Cassidy. He joins us here on the CDGA Golf Show. Good morning, Ron. It was great to see you at the Chicago Golf Show a couple weeks ago.
Good morning, guys. How we doing today?
Just living the dream, Ron.
I love it. I love it. Well, I'm enjoying one of my last free weekends before we get open. before we get open this coming week, so running around getting some errands done and taking care of business.
So I have to start with this. Are you opening early because of some of the weather that we've had, or was this always the intended start date?
No, well, you know, we've got, you know, multiple years of history, and, you know, the second to week of March is pretty typical, as late as first week of April, but we're definitely on the earlier side this year. Always a bit of, you know, constant monitoring of the weather and what's going on and evaluating, you know, what course conditions are going to be like. Is the course going to be ready to tolerate the traffic? You know, every course in our area, everything has got this little micro agronomic climate where, you know, depending on your tree canopy and drainage and what kind of wind and everything that you're getting is always taken into evaluation by the golf course superintendent. And as soon as we're ready to tolerate the traffic, we're ready to go and start getting our golfers back out on Glenview Park.
So, Ron, with the title of Director of Golf, I know people think that all you do is play golf, which we know isn't the case because I've played golf with you. But that being said, you have so many different responsibilities, and among them is leading this staff and staffing. Does any of that pose a problem for you or the operators when all of a sudden, instead of early April, it's now early March? Are you ready to open up, you know, in the full scale in that regard?
Absolutely, Mike. Great question. You know, we're fortunate enough that we've got some long time returning staff. You know, of course, obviously we're shut down in the winter, but will we be fully staffed? No, but will we have some key staff members in to get us up and going, get the course prepared? Absolutely. And that's just, you know, again, it's us communicating and reaching out to them and finding out what their schedules are, what they've been doing, and getting them back going. So can it be challenging? Absolutely. We're fortunate enough that we've got a pretty strong core group of guys that are going to be coming back and getting out there. But I know that it's kind of a, you know, hey, are we going to go today? Are we going to go tomorrow? And that doesn't do much to help people plan their lives either. But I think the excitement about getting back open kind of trumps everything and gets everybody back in the golf frame of mind.
Ron Cassidy, Director of Golf at Glenview Park Golf Club, joining us right now on the Jersey Mike's hotline. So, Ron, how will this unseasonably warm February and early March impact how the course conditions are slated to be this year?
Well, great question, Tyler. The once, like I said, the golf course superintendent out there evaluating, we got to make sure the course is ready to tolerate the traffic. We are making sure that any short-term gain in revenue isn't going to convert into long-term pain and conditions later in the year. You know, soil temps, a lot of golfers don't think about what's underneath the turf, and soil temps are still, they're barely in the 40s and coming up and trying to get going. Every divot that's taken doesn't have a chance of regrowth until those soil temperatures warm up and get into the low and mid 50s, where you know, not to geek out on all the agronomic stuff, but you know, grass loves to grow at about 58 degrees in soil temps. So you know, we're evaluating that and making sure that, you know, what we do now isn't gonna, you know, have a lasting scar come June and July. So it's definitely part of it, definitely something to consider and make sure that not too much happens that can't be repaired.
You know, Ron, I've said this and I'll say it again. Glenview Park has probably one of the industry best superintendents in Todd Vermillion. And You know, the Ohio State grad has brought a level of care and turf knowledge to Glenview Park that I'm just amazed at every year. And for anyone who's not played Glenview Park, you really should go up there, because I think arguably some of the best public greens anywhere in our district. And that's a credit to Todd. But I know early in the season, everybody, you know, I got to get out. I got to ride. So do you bring the golf carts out, the motorized carts out right away, or do you infuse them, or is it just a day-by-day decision like any other day?
Mike, we're fortunate enough. You know, we've got the continuous cart path all through the 18 holes and a brand-new fleet of GPS-controlled golf cars. So we will bring the cars out, but we'll definitely restrict them to cart path only. We don't want the added wear and tear of the carts hitting the course, for sure. We're fortunate enough to be in that position where we can keep the carts on the path. And, you know, the technology is so smart that even if somebody oopses and veers off a little bit, the cart's shut down, making you back up and get back on the path. So, you know, not that many years ago when we didn't have the path, absolutely. It's a walking only first week or so to make sure we're not putting the excess wear and tear on the turf.
Ron Cassidy, director of golf at Glenview Park Golf Club, with us. So you bring up those GPS carts. Those were new last year, if I remember correctly, to Glenview Park. Anything big, new, exciting coming to the course this year?
You know, nothing out of the ordinary. You know, of course, we're looking forward to the ESPN CDGA blowout on July 26th, where we're going to have some great golf and some great camaraderie, but you know, we're just trudging along and keeping the course in great shape and welcoming everybody out. We got some of our evening concerts planned again. Dates for those to be announced pretty soon. But just another year, kind of status quo. Let's come out and have some great golf and great fun.
Ron, you've always been a forward thinker, and I noticed one of the fun and cool things that Glenview Park offers are those, I don't know, how do you call them, like motorcycle carts? They're It looks like a bike. Like, tell us what that
is. I'm afraid to use those.
I think it's cool.
Yeah. No, you guys are referring to Sun Mountain Sports. They came out with the Finn Scooter, a couple years ago now, 3-4 years ago. And our Sun Mountain rep came to us, and he showed me one and said, hey, these are on allocation, and I only got 4 left. I go, I want all 4 because I don't want any of my competition to have them. So we grabbed the last 4 that they had, and they are an absolute riot to go out and play and use. You strap your bag down the middle of it, much like, you know, look at your old bicycle. You just kind of put your bag right down in the middle, and got a throttle and a brake, and you just go from shot to shot like you're riding a bike. They're a lot of fun because, sure, you go out and find a couple excess hills to go up and down, sure, but they are not equipped to go off-road like a motorbike. don't be doing any of that.
Do you prefer it to the traditional cart, the Sun Mountain bikes?
You know, when I do play, as Mike mentioned, you know, we know how little we actually play when we're in the industry. I'll take one out from time to time. What's most convenient is they go a little bit quicker than a golf car. So if I've got to go out and meet somebody on the course or bring a message out to somebody, I'll hop on one of those real quick because I can get out there a lot faster.
Well, Ron, appreciate you taking some time with us. Best of luck this golf season, and we'll chat soon.
All right, guys, I appreciate it. Come out and see us. We're targeting this coming Friday the 15th to open up, and hopefully a great year, a great weather, and great golf season ahead.
Love it. Can't wait to see you out at Glenview Park Golf Club. It's Ron Cassidy, director of golf over at Glenview Park Golf Club, joining us on the Jersey Mike's Hotline. And, yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting perspective. Like, they're not rushing it. They kind of see what the long-term gain. You want to make sure the course is in its top tier shape by the time you get to July, August, and even like the later portions of June, because that's what's most important. If you're going to sacrifice your summer months at the cost of a couple of spot days in February and March, like, it's not always worth it.
No, and it's never worth it. And you really listen to an experienced operator when Ron was talking. I mean, you know, there is that natural, you know, from an operator's perspective, to make it as good as it can be right now, because guess what? All the customers are asking for it. They're telling you this is what they want. And they're telling you your green speeds are really slow right now. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they should be, because I'm protecting them so that when we're in July, you're not asking me, well, what happened to the turf? You know, so it's, there is a lot of juggling and a lot of decision making that these directors and golf professionals and GMs have to make to keep really their own members and their customers out of the way of themselves, because they do have to look at things from a seasonal perspective, and you can get yourself into trouble early in the season, and then you're fighting to get your golf course back versus doing the right thing early on and having a strong, you know, agronomy-wise turf and all the rest of the, you know, chemicals and all the rest of that has to go into this thing to create a great, you know, playing surface for when it is peak season.
Yeah. 312-332-3776. If you want to join us here on the CDGA Golf Show, when we come back, I do want to talk a little bit about putters, because one big-time tour player is eyeing a switch with the flat stick. And I have my putter with us in studio right now. I want to talk a little bit about what goes into picking a putter, what goes in, and if you have any questions too, 312-332-3776. Mike is one of the greatest resources to ask about this sort of stuff. We'll do all that when we come back here on the CDGA Golf Show.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
This segment brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course. It's the CDGA Golf Show presented by Glenview Park Golf Club. And we want to talk a little bit of putters here, because one of the best players on tour is eyeing a switch to a new putter. And that is Scottie Scheffler. I mean, his struggles have been well documented on the greens. He is the best ball striker on the tour. And quite frankly, it's not close.
By far.
And if he could hit some of these simple putts from by tour standards, if he could hit some of those, we would be talking about him as by far and away the best player on the planet right now. And he would probably have another major or two to his name on top of that. And you just look at the way that the putter has betrayed him. What was it? At the U.S. Open last year, and he's chucking balls into the woods after certain holes because his putter has just failed him to that degree.
It's night and day when you look at Scottie Scheffler tee to green, and then when he gets to the green. It's just the wildest thing to watch somebody at his level turned into such a poor putter right before our eyes. And to your point, if he's putting anywhere like remotely to tour average, he's winning everything. Yes. It's just amazing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, last year, John Rahm won 14,462,000 by May 1st. If Scotty has any sort of putting, you know, luck, he's going to eclipse that. But yeah, he made a change, because going into this week, Scotty was 0-for-7 from 8 feet.
It's ridiculous. So,
yeah. I mean, the tour average is 4-of-7, and he's 0-for-7. And yet he's still bringing in the money and the, you know, the finishes that he is with being 0-for-7. He's 179th from 12 to 14 feet on tour. 179th. He's 195th, 4 to 6 feet. And 107th in strokes gained, 122nd in overall average putts per round at 29.91. He's not even better than half the tour, and yet he's still cleaning up house. And get this. This is really telling. He's 153rd on tour in his ability to avoid a three-putt. So what's that tell you? He's hitting a bunch of greens. And as a result, he finally decided enough's enough. So he made a drastic change. He's gone to this tailor-made spider, which he actually made a little bit longer than his other putters. He's going it to 35 and a half inches long. But here's what I find very interesting. He got rid of the line on his ball, because when the line on the ball wasn't lining up with his line on his putter, he had no shot.
And you know what? Quick side note on the line on the ball. I didn't realize there was a contraption that these guys used to draw the line on their ball. I forget who it was, but someone, like, they had, like, almost this tracer that they clamped onto the ball, and then they just draw the line on
it.
It's like a tracer.
I'll give you one. I have one in my bag.
Awesome.
Yeah, I know. I use it, too, because it's real simple. You just take your Sharpie, whatever color, and it is arrow straight. So that allows that piece of, you know, space in your mind to be freed up to say, did I draw that straight? Well, yeah, this is what it's for.
Yeah.
But early on going into this week, I started to question if Scotty can't line up the line on his putter with the line on the ball, that tells me that putter probably isn't fit right for him. So I think that was part of the problem when he was using the blade putter. But now going to this mallet and not going to the line on the ball. See, Scotty's more of an artistic player. He's not a real technical guy, which I also find...
Just look at his feet.
Yeah, I mean, he's like Fred Astaire out there for you young people. Yeah, that's like, you know, a really good dancer. How about that? By making this change, he also made a change last fall by going to a putting coach by the name of Phil Kenyon. And, you know, I started to become very concerned for Scotty, because you would think after getting a new putter coach, and you would see some pretty much instantaneous change. And it's been several months. But I think Scotty's approach by putting more in an artistic way and a feel versus being as technical obviously is paying off, making this change in terms of going from a blade to a mallet and with no line. I think it's freed up his mind in a way that is right for Scotty. It may not be right for you, and it may not be right for me, but it's certainly working for him right now. And so that's the unique thing about putting. It's all personality and it's all different styles. And unlike the golf swing, there really isn't necessarily only one way to putt. I mean, there's a litany of different ways to do it. We see different styles, different grips, different, you know, hand, and some guys switch. And but that's the beauty of putting. It's really up to the eyes of the beholder.
Yeah. So Rory McIlroy was kind of one of the first people to kind of put it out there, like, hey, maybe make a switch over to a mallet. This was a couple weeks ago. Rory said, the mallet just gives you a little bit more margin for error, and that gave me confidence knowing that even if I don't put a perfect stroke on it, the ball's not going to go too far offline. So I'd love to see Scotty try a mallet, but selfishly for me, Scotty does everything else so well. And then fast forward a couple weeks here, and you've got him with the tailor-made spider in his bag, and it was the only putter in his bag at that point. And it looks like he's going to be making the switch with it. And that's, I mean, if he already is the world number one player, if he figures out the putting, it's not going to be close. Like that's the biggest thing. If he figures out the putting, it will not be close as to who is the number one player. He'll never relinquish that for like the next couple of years.
No doubt. And I'll tell you the other thing that I noticed, and I didn't realize it until somebody did an absolute deep dive on the way he putts. Scotty Scheffler, when you mentioned how he moves his feet, Michael Breed did a really cool breakdown on what Scotty's knees do when he's putting. Mm-hmm. And believe it or not, he unflexes his knees as he strokes the ball ever so little. So what does that do? With a blade putter, to Rory's point, he doesn't necessarily put it on the sweet spot each and every time. And if you're not giving it the right kind of pace, well, now the amount of break and whatnot isn't going to yield the result you're looking for if your strikes aren't consistent. And so I think by going a half inch longer, it's going to account for that little bit of... as he does, and he just can't help himself. He just does it. But I think it's going to allow for a more consistent strike, or as they say, smash factor, but you're really not trying to smash a putter. But making that good, solid, consistent strike. And I think that's what we're starting to see, more consistent strikes. And when you have that and you have that frame of mind, it's all confident. All I have to do is put it right over that little point. Well, now the magic starts to happen. So I look at Scotty as a front runner now. I mean, yeah. Scotty with a putter that's hot.
Watch out.
It's just a question, who's finishing second?
Yeah. So I want to hear about your putter, because you go with the broomstick here.
I do.
All right. And you've been doing it for a while, right?
Yeah, I have. And I putted for a long, long time, cross-handed, regular style with a short putter for many, many years. And it was back in like 2003 when I was at Glen Oak playing there as a member. And I hit 17 greens, but I shot like 74. And I was not happy when I walked in. And Danny Mulhern had a Slim Jim, a long putter, and it was a mallet head, but it was a center shafted, and I noticed he always played with it, so I just said, let me try that. I go out onto the putting green, and the next thing I know, I'm starting to make putts from 20, 25 feet on not a consistent basis, but a much more frequent basis than any other putter I've ever had in my hands. So I went back out, and I shot 67 with it, and it's never been out of my bag since, until just recently when I finally had the putter measured, and over all the 20-plus years of having this thing, it has gotten bent to the point where it's illegal. It's 83 degrees upright, and that's illegal. You got to be 79.5 or lower. So I went with this exact same putter that Adam Scott and Lucas Glover and Will Zalatoris are using. It's somewhat of a mallet, and it's a center shaft, and it's by Lab. And for me, it takes the little muscles out of it. And, you know, it's funny when you really think about putting. It's the only thing we do in sports that I'm aware of where we put both hands on an object and we go side to side. Otherwise, everything else we do in sports is with one arm when we aim anything, whether it's a bow and arrow, whether it's a baseball, whether it's, you know, we're skipping stones. Yeah. Everything, throwing a dart, it's with one hand. So I went with one hand, and being a former hockey player, I'm used to having my hand far down the shaft of the stick. So that's what feels pretty normal for me. And for other people, they pick up my putter and they don't even know which end to put down first. And
right.
But for me, it just feels so much more natural, and it allows me to put a better aim and a more pure roll on it. And when I have those putts that matter for 4 or 5 feet, my little muscles in my hands and wrists aren't twitching, moving, or anything. It's just a solid, big muscle, you know, like a pendulum on a clock, and it just works.
How long did it take you to adjust to that?
I'll tell you, I played that one round, and it
really? It just kind
yeah, of, it just
sort of
kind of happened. And
so you're changing your grip a little bit?
Oh, yeah. So
I think so.
Yeah, I lay the club so that I get my thumb and forefinger, the shaft sits right there, and all I do is just put my palm and club face right to the hole, and that's it. And it's so simple. And the other thing it allows me to do as a putter, the thing that I struggled with as with a short putter, was having a consistent stance and setup. My setup from putt to putt was always different, and so my strikes were different, my misses were different, everything was different, everything was never the same. Now I can set up consistently the same way, and that way my aiming is so much better. And I'm also a better lag putter as a result of it, because it's an easier way. It's a freer way for me to just swing the pendulum, and I just have better feel, and I'm taller, and I see the line better. It just works for me, and it works for some of us. But for those who, you know, want to go with the short putter, you know, there is no right way to hold it. I mean, it's just what feels comfortable for you. And that is a question of, what is the right type of putter for
right.
you?
Mm-hmm.
So
switching to the broomstick style, like, you wouldn't recommend waiting till the off season. You would just say go for it.
No, I say go for it, and here's why. It made putting so much fun, and it still does, because now, A, I can practice for hours on end without hurting my back, because mm-hmm. it's a easier posture to stay in.
Yeah.
But it's also a different way of putting, and there are different ways that you can do it, and you can experiment, and it's a much more enjoyable way for me to putt, and I just find practicing much more enjoyable, and it's just a different way of doing it, and I, when I watched Lucas because I tried for the last year and a half to walk away from the long putter. I committed myself to the short putter, and I can't do it. It's just that simple. Yeah. I'm being honest with myself. So I went ahead, and because I plan on playing in some competitions this year, so I have a brand new putter that is legal by all accounts. I just have to now make sure I hold it legally because I can't anchor it. And so I hold it very much the same way Adam Scott holds his. So
interesting. That's the fascinating part, because you're basically, I know it's putting, so it's not like a power stroke, but it is a swing overhaul. It's not just a little tweak here or there. It is an overhaul, it feels like, that you're undergoing there. But it's something that I would have thought you would wait until the off season, maybe go to some indoor greens, try to practice a little bit with that. But no, it's something that you can just kind of go out and just rip it.
Yeah. I mean, and it's not for everybody. Some people will say, look, it just still feels awkward after 15 minutes. I just don't like the feel of it. That's how I feel when I pick up a small one right now.
Yeah.
I just don't like the feel of it. I do okay at putt-putt golf with it, but
I was going to ask you, how do you do at mini golf? What do you do at mini golf?
My daughter beats me frequently. I'll just say that. Emily beats me.
That's funny. Yeah. I've got a blade putter right now, and one of the reasons I have the blade putter is because I have this Pinehurst number 4 putter cover on it that I'm just I don't want to part with. So I stick with, I've thought about maybe experimenting with a mallet to see how that feels, see the difference and stuff like that, but for right now I'm sticking with the blade, I think.
Well, so here's what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. I'm going to re-grip that.
Okay.
Then I'm going to also give you the other putter that I was just using. It's the Scotty Cameron. It's almost like the same one that JT uses, and it's like of a mallet.
Yeah.
And then you tell me which one you like better. All right. Because the blade putter is more of a, you know, a hang toe putter. Mm-hmm. So if your stroke is more inside to out, it has a bit of an arc to it, that putter is perfect for you. But if your stroke is more straight back and straight through, then you want a more of a face balance putter.
Interesting.
And so then I think a mallet type of center shafted. And then in the necks, sometimes like on the Spider, there's what we call an angle neck. And I believe that's the one that Scotty's using this week. Mm-hmm. But there's also one what they call the plumber's neck. And it actually looks like a plumber's piece of pipe. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit longer neck. But it allows for the putter, if you hold it by the shaft, the face will stay flat straight up to the sky. It won't fall down.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that helps with that kind of path. So to know the type of path you have, I think will help you start to go, do I go, you know, blade or do I go mallet? What I also find with mallet putters, they're great on any type of speed of greens.
Okay.
But I find the blade putters are superb on fast greens. I have a much more difficult time, as do I think most golfers, using a blade putter on slow greens, just because they're generally lighter and there's not a lot of forgiveness and twist, and it's easier to get that putter offline on slow greens. But when you're on billiard tables, when you're playing the Medina threes and the Olympia fields, the blade putter is certainly the best way to go.
Interesting. All right. I'll keep that in mind there. If you've got a putting question for Mike as well, he kind of just gave me the entire tutorial. But if you've got a putter question, how to pick a putter, maybe you're in the market for a new putter, or if you want tips on how to transition to a different putter, Mike's got all the answers for you. 312-332-3776 if you want to join us here on the CDGA Golf Show. And I do have, there's a putting hypothetical that's sort of been thrown around on the internet too that I want to get to as well. This segment has been brought to you by Fox Bend Golf Course. We'll do all that when we return on the CDGA Golf Show.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Look at that. You taught me something else about putters and grips during the break there. So the grip that I gave you has like the wrist lock in it.
You have that option. Mm-hmm. Yes. I can turn it if you wrist lock this way, or I can turn it for no wrist lock.
And basically there's like a little wedge that sort of sticks out at the
Yeah, this is a Ricky Fowler grip.
Yeah, that's why it's orange.
That's why it's orange.
312-332-3776 if you want to join us here on the CDGA Golf Show. We're with you every single Saturday throughout the golf season right here on ESPN 1000, 9 to 11 a.m. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge. I saw this on Twitter earlier in the week, and so I sent you the picture last week of my best, probably the best shot I've ever had in my life. Closest I've ever been to a hole in one. About 160 out, put it within inside of 3 feet, about 2.5 to 3 feet. And I saw, it's just funny, I saw this on Twitter this week, and it's a picture of a very, here, come on over here, take a look at this, all right? It's a picture of a ball that's very close to the pin, all right? See, oh, yeah. You see it, 2 feet. Yeah. And it says, 2 foot putt for birdie. Is it a gimme, or do you insist on the putt being made for birdie? I saw this, and I was like, that's ridiculous. Of course you have to putt that out. You have to putt out all your birdies and pars in my book.
Well, you would think so, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I guess I'll say that 90-some-odd percent of the time, I agree. But there are a few times where if I'm playing, obviously, for no money, and we're mm-hmm. out for having
yes.
fun,
mm-hmm.
and if I know somebody either hasn't made a birdie in their life, and or I can tell they have a trepidation because they don't want to be the guy, you know, missing it from 2 feet,
mm-hmm.
I'll knock it away just to take, because I can tell they are
really
fretting if it's a fun match, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes,
but
of course.
Now, if it's you and I and we're playing for Jersey Mike sandwiches or something important,
you
then
pull out the putter, buddy.
Yeah, yeah, you're either pulling out the putter, especially if this is holes 15, 16, 17, or 18.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But if it's hole 2, 3, 4, and 5, I'm giving you that all day mm-hmm. so that you don't have any short putts until it matters, then I'm going to make you putt it.
Interesting. So, I with the younger golfers or like the players who maybe haven't had the birdie, I feel like, listen, it's a 2 foot putt. You should be able to make it no matter what level of golfer you are. And I feel like if you knock that in for birdie, it's a big confidence builder for yourself.
Is. No, it is. It's,
and maybe you lock in differently the rest of the round as a result of it because you actually flushed it through the hole as opposed to your playing partner saying, goodbye me.
Right. And honestly, yes, in almost other any other case, you always want to putt it out because for your own mental being, because I've actually seen it happen quite a bit where somebody hits the shot that you just described mm-hmm. or that you mm-hmm. just showed and, oh, that's good. The person says, no, I want to putt it out.
Yeah.
And they mm-hmm. won't accept it. They
right.
want to putt that out.
Yes.
That's the guy or girl I admire mm-hmm. because that's exactly what you should do. And to your point, that's going to build more confidence. And I'll tell you where the confidence comes in handy. When you have that putter just a little bit longer now for par.
Yes.
See, mm-hmm. because it seems like when you have the mindset, like the par putt has to go in because it should go in because you should be able to be making pars, but birdies, not necessarily. It seems like I have more of a ease of or a mental, you know, gap, if you will, when it comes to this, because I'll sometimes allow myself off the hook. I don't have the same focus for a birdie putt as I do a par putt, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think every golfer's like that. Now, if that's a par putt, what say you?
Oh, you're putting it all day.
You're putting it all day.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, especially if there's anything on the line yeah. or whatever. Now, if we're literally 2 feet and I'm 2 feet on the other side and you told me, you know, we're just playing amongst us, good.
Yeah.
Let's get to the next hole because it's getting dark. Let's go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I have no problem with that.
Yeah. Eddie is on the north side. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, guys. Love your show. But just the point of that, I don't know if it's mallet or blade, but I had this nice Callaway putter, and I could not putt anything with it. I found this old putter in my garage. It was heavier. It was all rusted out. I spray painted it, and I putted the best I've ever putted before. So I think it's the weight, the heavier putter's better. It just seems like it to me. I don't know.
Well, again, weight is a big part of what you're going to, you know, use as one of your decision makers, what feels best in your hands. And for some people, they excel with the heavy putter. Others do much better with the light putters. The heavy putters on slow to medium speed greens are ideal. The heavier putter on, you know, a green that's rolling, you know, 13 or 12 on the stimp meter, that's a little bit tougher to control. You get just a little too much, you know, acceleration in that putter, and you're going to see an end result that's going 8, 9, 12. You're yelling for that ball to stop because you just don't have the same feel.
Right.
It's more of a sledgehammer than it is, you know, that nice feel. But you know what? Sometimes, and I'll tell you another great way to fall back in love with your regular putter is go into the golf shop and pick the ugliest putter you can find, something that absolutely makes you cringe looking down at it. Go putt for 10 minutes with it. Then go return it to the shop. Then go bring your putter back out, and it'll be amazing how much you'll fall back in love with the old girl.
You know, it's funny, too. You were bringing up that when you re-grip my putter, that it's going to feel lighter.
Yes.
And, like, I already choke up on the putter, like, almost to the bottom of the grip. Regardless, I feel like I have better control of it. It's just something I've done.
You get close to your work.
Right, yes, exactly. And I think that's going to be probably the biggest adjustment for me when I do get this new grip on the club.
Well, I'm looking at these two grips, and it's going to be the tale of literally two grips. This thing looks like it's, you know, should be in the Smithsonian, this grip, and it's so tiny and skinny. Mm-hmm. Now you gave me a super stroke, and what you basically are doing is you are taking this grip and turning it into a jumbo.
Yeah.
And by doing that, you are going to unweight the head by putting a bigger grip and a heavier grip on the end. You're going to make the overall club heavier, but the head is going to actually be lighter, which we can change that with a little bit of lead tape. I can get it right back to its original swing weight, but you might actually like it the way it will be. So we won't put the lead tape in it just yet, and then we'll see how you do. But it will make the head a little bit lighter, and we'll just see how that feels in your hand. But we can always tweak and adjust, and yeah.
I'm intrigued. I'm excited now for this.
It's going to be good.
Appreciate you doing this for me. Thank you very much. All right, when we come back, we will go around the CDGA. This segment brought to you by Tour Edge.
This is the CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1100.3 HD2 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Thank you to Justin Pottinger for producing today's show. The segment brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. By the way, you know, about a month from today's show, we'll be doing Masters Breakdown.
Yep.
It's right around the corner. Can't believe it.
I cannot wait.
Everything's just kind of snuck up on us in like the fall or in the spring sports season. I feel like the NCAA tournament and conference tournaments have snuck up on us. MLB opening day right around the corner, and the Masters. That's the trifecta of what you're looking for in the spring sports there. NCAA basketball and the Masters and opening day. So we're almost there.
Yeah, I mean, it rivals sort of that first week in sort of October when you've got NFL, Major League Baseball playoffs, the start of the NHL, all that kind of. So you got those two bookend moments. But yeah, this week that comes up that you just described is like no other.
Yep. All right, what is going on around the CDGA, Mike?
Well, we got a few things, actually. Yesterday, CDGA members, you should have received the first digital edition of Chicago District Golfer that was sent to you, and check it out, as it has a new format, much easier to read on your phone or devices, as well as obviously on your computer, but some amazing, amazing contact by the guys, Casey and the boys. So a really good read this month, so I encourage everyone to check it out. Big shout out to the 90 plus rules officials and aspiring rules officials who have traveled to Chicago, and we've got rules officials, men and women from all over the country, and we have a few from outside the country, spending the next few days at Midwest Golf House in Lamont to attend the PGA USGA Rules of Golf Workshop, where Monday afternoon they will take a 100-question test. Now get this.
Wow.
To be considered an expert by the USGA, you have to get 90 right.
Okay.
And I'm telling you, the rules of golf are hard.
Yeah.
They are not easy.
There's a lot of technicalities and particulars. Yeah.
So there are some people that are at our building today that we will see at the U.S. Open, we'll see at the Masters, and on the PGA Tour. Those that score 74 to 89, they're going to be considered an advance, but they can still work, obviously, all of the events in the in our district. So good luck to everyone on Monday, and safe travels home. And then, get this, starting on Monday, for any of our CDGA members who have served in the armed forces or have family members that have served, like a parent, a spouse, child, or a sibling, we are excited to announce that on Monday, March 11th, registration officially opens for the CDGA VGA Two-Person Veterans Cup Series. And what is that, you might ask? Well, there's going to be three events, with the fourth final event happening at Aurora Country Club in August. So May 25th, we're going to be at the Odyssey Golf Foundation Veterans Club in Tinley Park, June 24th at Kankakee Country Club, July 29th at Pine Meadows. And then, as I say, for those that qualify, the finals will be at Aurora Country Club on August 26th. The format's a two-person scramble. It will be flighted. There'll be $250 a team. And registration, as I say, opens up at cdga.org. Go click on competitions, scroll down to 2024 CDGA social competition schedule, and you'll find the event as well as 30 other various competitions that in member days that we'll be conducting over the course of 2024. But for those who have served, this is a great opportunity to be together, to have some real fellowship. And that's why the VGA, the Veterans Golf Association, came to us. And, you know, with veterans being a big part of what we do as a foundation, this was an absolute no-brainer. So it's going to be a great time to bring all these men and women together that have just done wonderful things for our country. And ultimately, we're just going to make, you know, we're going to become better through golf, through our veterans this spring. So if you are a veteran, please go to cdga.org and join the fun.
Awesome. Good stuff to hear. Going to be a lot of fun this year. And remember, the scoring season starts on Friday.
That's the big one. Mm-hmm. March 15th. You can start to post your scores.
All right. So get on out there. Play some golf. I meant to bring this up earlier. Friend of the show, Tracy Butler, texted me and said, a lot of days in the 60s this week. So that is good news for golfing this week.
And Tracy is our real golf friend.
Mm-hmm. And she cooked up a great week for us weather-wise for this week of golf. So get on out there, go to your local courses, and it should be lots of fun. Peggy and Dion coming up next. This segment brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. We will talk to you right here Saturday mornings, 9 to 11 a.m. next week.
More golf ahead. The CDGA Golf Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Glenview Park Golf Club.